first red flag is like, oh, a man is up here being violent towards an inanimate object. Yeah. I'm like, I'm gonna go.
A man is up here. I'm gonna go. We don't have notes here.
We don't have notes here.
Are you fixing your balls right now?
No. Yes.
My labia are situated, but if they weren't, I would take this opportunity to
fix them.
Spitefully fix my labia.
Am I keeping that in or am I cutting that out?
It's up to you.
I'll keep it in. It's fine. I have nuts. That's what it is. You know.
You do have nuts.
I do.
You do.
You
got nuts, kid.
Do you ever just wonder how we got here?
Like here specifically or like this place in life?
I guess sometimes both. I guess.
I can feel that there's a meme coming. There's a joke coming, and I don't know what it is.
You know what's so funny is there actually isn't this time. I think I remember reading an interesting headline. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Women who feel powerless are more likely to endorse benevolent sexism and gender inequalities, suggests a new study. Women may attempt to overcome feeling powerless by adhering to sexist attitudes that offer power via idealization of women's qualities in intimate relationships.
Benevolent sexism?
I guess so, like, I guess...
As in, like...
Identifying with, like, misogyny. Like, you know, like, the kind of, like, the pick-me thing.
Like a pick-me thing. Can I read the headline? Just because I have a hard time processing verbal.
I know. If I can't see the words, then I'm like, that's why, thank God, God bless subtitles.
Verbal instructions really confuse me.
Do you want to read it out loud again, too?
Yeah. Women who feel powerless are more likely to endorse benevolent sexism and gender inequalities, suggests a new study. Women may attempt to overcome feeling powerless by adhering to sexist attitudes that offer power via idealization of women's qualities in intimate relationships. Interesting. Okay.
And I'm sure we'll take it with a grain of salt because I don't feel like doing the work to go and look at their sample size and everything. I'm sure it's behind a paywall anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that kind of checks out. Like, that kind of makes sense. Also, we talk about the nexus of power a lot.
Yes.
So
it's just odd to me that it's referred to as benevolent sexism.
Yeah, why would it be benevolent?
I understand that to some degree it's probably just a research term.
Yeah.
But it reads as, like, sexism, but good. And, like, that's never good.
That's not good.
You know what I mean?
There's no good sexism.
For a second, I thought it was talking about the, like, over-idealization of women that happens sometimes in, like, digital spaces where it's like, you know, God is a woman and like, you know, fuck man. And that's what I thought it was talking about. And
oh,
I was like,
nope, it was not that.
Yeah. That's kind of the opposite. I would feel,
I feel like it feels it like, especially when we talk about Christianity and stuff, mm-hmm. and like Republicans, yes. especially. And it's like,
yes.
how, when you're like, do you realize what you're going for is against your no. own? It's very no. like, what's that show that we stopped watching with Kate Moss?
The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate that show.
I can't believe, yeah.
It's kind of a hot take, I guess. I don't like the fucking show. Sorry.
You don't like the show because?
Because, first of all, it's like trauma porn.
Yeah.
And second of all, it's
hard
like,
to watch.
Well, and it's also very like oppression from a white woman's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like they center this story of a white semi-affluent woman and like pay zero fucking attention to the way that intersecting marginalized identities had people like worse off. It's just, it also just feels like the kind of fantasy thing that white women do where we sort of like fantasize about oppression in a very particular like YA romance novel kind of way. And like, that's not what it looks like, you know, like it's not actually that pronounced. And also like, just because we're not living in like literal Gilead doesn't mean that like black and brown and like also like just marginalized people generally haven't been getting like forcibly sterilized and like had their reproductive shit fucked
and
with
like shit.
Now you know what I'm saying, like currently today you know, like disabled people and like indigenous people, there's like a whole wave of people that had their reproductive choices stripped from them. So like, why don't we talk about that?
I feel like it hits a lot different too when things aren't like absolutely beyond fucked.
Yeah,
but like when you're already living in it, it's like,
yeah,
like, man, I'm trying to watch TV to escape.
That too.
Like, I'm not trying to.
Yeah, that's not
like,
fun.
Like, I don't want to live it. And
yes.
Yeah, I don't
well,
know.
Well, I don't know. I just, it feels kind of like
as
it sets up this
it,
weird attitude to. I'm going to talk about this in a video that is like in process right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about.
What video is it? Can we know?
Leftism and evangelicalism and like the sort of strange Venn diagram that exists there.
The, when it becomes somehow a circle.
Yes. But there is this kind of strange like fantasy thing about like a very like obvious apocalypse. Mm-hmm. You know, that like
it's like really the doomsday, like the dooms.
Yes, yeah,
like
it's common. Yeah, evangelical Christianity, where you know they almost seem like they want that to happen, like they're excited about it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And there is kind of that attitude in white feminism also, that like one day there will be this big transformative event where we're all clearly oppressed, and like that will be the line, and like that's not how oppression works.
Not how it works. You know, literally.
Like, that's not how oppression works at all. It's much more insidious than that.
And slow.
There's not going to be creeping. like a you know, a tornado siren where they're like, we're in Gilead now. Yes. You know, like, no, it happens really slowly. And it happens first and foremost to the people who are most already marginalized among us. Yeah, like, it's already happening.
Literally.
That's what I mean. Like, it's just, it feels strange. I feel like it's kind of a weird, like, look over here, while we're, like, doing things over here. You know what I mean?
There's, like, a part of me that wants to know how the show finishes, but also I just simply do not care. Or have
it's also really violent sometimes.
It totally is. It absolutely is.
And it stresses me out. I have really, like, a button about violence and gore, and I don't have an easy time.
I don't think that one's your fault, though. That might be the trauma.
No, yeah, that's definitely a trauma thing. But I just... If I have the choice between watching something that I'm going to have to, like, okay, calm down and regulate your nervous system, or watching something that's like, I'm going to watch the silly fuck
also
off.
The thing where we're like, if you need a TV show to watch after your TV show, then like,
maybe like, you don't need to watch that.
Maybe I don't want that. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You need like a palate cleanser. Hi, everyone. Yeah. Hello.
Hi. This is We Should Unpack This.
I'm Aaron.
My Mickey. We're talking today about a little bit of a smorgasbord of things. If you watched last week's episode, we ran out of time because we have so much drama.
you said drama and trauma. Trauma.
Yeah, trauma. Trauma.
Trauma.
So we're talking about some of the stuff we missed from last week, namely Ethan Plath's non-negotiables.
Also, can we just talk about the Plaths real quick? The show. It's so incredibly loud and so incredibly clear that they just, I do to some degree feel bad for the producers, because I can just imagine every week they're like, okay, what'd you guys get for filming this week? And they're like, we got fucking nothing.
You know who
we
I
got
feel bad
absolutely
for?
Absolutely fucking nothing. Who?
The editors. Who have to take 35 minutes from last week and somehow repackage it up to be interesting.
Because I was like, every episode, like, okay, they're like, okay, we can do 5 minutes of B-roll from last week's episode. So that gets us down. And then we can just take some videos of, like, the countryside.
Yes, and the last 7 minutes will be a later this season on Plathville.
I also, I'm surprised they haven't started doing what The Secret Life of an American Teenager does, where they have 15 seconds of fucking black screen in between scenes. Like, I know it was for a time when there were commercials in the show, but
I think it's because they're filling that time with B-roll.
Oh, definitely.
And like annoying music and stuff.
That show does not function unless Ethan and Olivia are will they, won't they.
Yes.
Again, and I'm so genuinely thankful that they're won't they-ing right now. But it's absolutely, it's just like that whole last episode to date this is, they did a Spartan race for the whole fucking episode.
Also, can we just talk about how, generally speaking, especially TLC, there's, like, it's pretty obvious, I think, that most of it is fake or
staged,
reenacted, or, like, heavily prompted, right? But this season especially feels very
I'm like, are these advertised?
Fake?
Are they, like, are these, because, like, that, and then the jujitsu thing and the lion dancing thing? Like, I feel like we're just doing activities. Like, it's welcome to Activitiesville.
Okay, but also the Spartan race thing, I am super confused. So, what is his name? Isaac forgot his clothes and his shoes and all of this stuff, right? But then ran the race like in under an hour.
Well, I mean, that doesn't...
Well, and like none of them trained. None of them had supposedly prepared, but all of them ran the race in like the upper end of fast for that activity.
I mean, like, it didn't... None of it looked inherently difficult, no.
Climbing a rope?
The climbing the rope one would be hard. That one would be hard.
Climbing a rope with no preparation seems like kind of a difficult task, no?
I feel like, well... I guess I'm a bad.
But also, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You go to the gym most days.
Yeah.
And you go for a run most days out of the week.
It's the anxiety, yeah.
Well, yeah, but you could run a Spartan race, I think, without having specifically prepared for those events, because you're like regularly working on your upper body strength and your lower body strength and your stamina and like. you know, whatever. But for people who are like, we didn't really try.
They're also like 20-something year old too.
You know, that's true.
No, that's true. You're using your old.
No, you're right.
Your old jester mind.
Yeah, that's true. Could a regular 20-something.
20-year-old, you might have surprised yourself, I feel like.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, give yourself some damn credit, dude.
Maybe. No, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, things didn't really start to hit the fan until I got older.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. I think it's just so funny to me, though, because we talk about this, and I don't know if it's my, like, also, I think with the presidential election stuff going on right now, too,
yeah.
I'm like, if I can't picture you in, like, leisure clothes.
Yes.
Like, if you, like, we saw that picture of Tim Walz. Yeah.
Walz.
In his,
He was walking his dog.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, this dude clearly knows, like, yes. This, he has clothes he to wear a as a normal person.
And basketball shorts and, like, running shoes.
But it didn't look weird. Like, it also didn't look like brand new or staged. No. Or, like, can you
that
imagine?
Man, that's clearly his,
if like, hey, Trump, can you walk? Also, that would require him to know how to do anything, yeah. Like, have compassion for anything yeah, other living
besides
being.
Himself. Yeah.
Be like, hey, can we get a picture of you, like, J.D. Vance going to the donut store?
Yeah, and he's like, wearing a suit and it's like,
he's like, hello, humans. How do you...
I have come to interact with you.
Do you do donuts here?
It's so weird.
And
it's so weird.
Did you see the one woman behind the counter? He's like, oh, hey, yeah, hi, I'm running for... He didn't, to be clear, he didn't say what that one sure is either.
Yeah.
He was like, hi, I'm running for vice president. She's like, okay. Like,
stop.
Yeah, it's funny as fuck, actually.
Oh, my God. I haven't watched it because I just avoid...
She's like, yeah, I don't want to be in the video. And then he's like, just take her out. Take her out of all the shots. And then they leave her in there. They blur her face out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird.
But then he's like asking the dude behind the counter. He's like, oh, how long have you worked here? And he's like, oh, since July. And he goes, okay.
Like... What is that? And I know that that's kind of an antiquated thing of like, could you sit down and have a beer with them?
But, I know, I hate it, but also at this point, I'm like...
Genuinely, though, like, I think it's kind of sad that that's where we're at, but it is kind of where I'm at, though.
But, like, because between that and then, like, and then the Plaths, where it's like, hey, guys, we're going to go do, I don't know, like, they're going to the boat, and they're, like, dressed the fuck up.
What? Like, are we doing all of their clothes seem so situationally
it's
inappropriate.
It's like everything is Sunday's best.
I don't understand.
They're like, hey, what's the outfit of the day? Sunday's best.
I don't understand. And I'm like, maybe it's just me because I exist as a genderless blob.
Who we leave your hard.
Generally cares very little about my appearance. I know. Outside of like my hair looking nice, which also... It's fine.
It is fine.
We've been getting up at 7 a.m. with the dog, which is really early for us.
Any energy, all that juice I had a couple episodes ago, gone.
Gone.
Also, I'm healing a fresh tattoo, so if I make faces,
it just hurts.
I got my kneecap done, and it really...
Goddamn. It looks really good, though.
Oh, I can't wait to get the sandworm off, but damn, the kneecap is no fucking joke.
Yeah. But no, outside of my hair, barring outside circumstances, I really just don't care about my clothes. Like, I enjoy putting on a fun fit for, like, the expressiveness of it and, like, when I want to.
Yeah.
But especially the phenomenon of, like, it feels like a very influencer thing, too, where, like, we've normalized, because we're lying about it, we've normalized, like, I'm going to get up and put on a whole fit and just, like, sit in my home.
Like, I'm not putting a shirt on until I have to.
Also, I'm not putting on denim to be in my home.
No. No.
If it doesn't have a stretchy waistband, I'm not wearing it to sit on my couch.
No. And I know too, like, what jeans and stuff are a lot more normalized, I think, on like the South and the East.
Sure.
But
again, I don't know, especially if it were cold. I'm going home and I'm putting on sweatpants. I'm going home and I'm putting on cozy pants.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. Because I was thinking, I was like, oh, well, it's hot here. So no wonder, like, we wear as little clothes as fucking possible at all
times. But if it were cold and I wanted to be cozy.
Yeah, I'm hoodie-ing.
Like,
I want, like, my quadruple XL hoodie.
Yes. And this is not judgment at you if you like wearing that stuff.
No.
I'm just saying, I think, like,
it's interesting.
The influencer phenomenon of, like, making people feel as though they're, like, ugly or, like, not doing enough because you're not putting on a whole inspired, like, you know, put-together outfit to just exist in your home. Like, no.
Don't feel like...
I'm not doing that.
It sucks. I know they're filming, too, so there's some professionalism to it. But I'm like, sure. Is there?
But also, I don't know. I think there's kind of a value in, like, when there are activities that the producers have clearly scheduled for you, then wear your little fits. But if you're just, like... globbing around your mom's houseboat, I don't think we need to be doing the most. I really
don't. We don't need heels.
No! Like, it's really strange.
Yeah.
And Kim's clogs Her little heeled clogs. I don't get it. Are those her leisure shoes, do you think?
I have no idea. Also, you need to bring your Crocs next time.
I have my Crocs.
No. Your Crocs.
I do.
We will leave it at there, but
yeah.
Our friends need to see that.
I bought a pair of Crocs while we were on vacation, and I love them. I love They're also, too,
pretty cunty.
That while we were on vacation, instead of buying things that were related to our destination, we ended up at places like the Croc store. Buying a bunch of Crocs.
I mean, you know.
I'm happy about it.
Do we share a picture of our art that we found?
No, we have not. Okay, we'll share it. We'll put that up on the screen. We found a piece of art. That's one of our favorite things, too, is instead of buying tourist things, we try to buy local art.
We could not find a thrift store to save our life. Also, those rats had a thrift store listed. No thrift store to be found.
It was not a thrift store.
Drove to a part of town. No thrift store.
It was not a thrift store.
It was a fucking mall.
It ended up being a mall, actually. Yeah.
They got our ass so good.
Yeah, we got got.
Did not buy anything. Oh, we did buy something there, actually. We bought some local... We did buy stickers.
Did we?
We
bought stickers. Anyways, let's talk about Ethan's non-negotiable list.
I think real quick, too, if I just make, can I have one announcement? Mm-hmm. Just as far as for progression, because I was learning guitar when we started.
Yeah.
And I learned my full first song.
Yeah.
I played my first full song. Singing and strumming is really hard.
It sounds really
good. I have, you know, it's the thing where, like, when I started composing and writing music, I was like, wow, I have a lot more respect. And then singing and strumming and playing, and I'm like, God fucking
having
damn.
Having to put all the pieces together.
Yeah.
Seems like kind of a lot.
Now when people are like doing cowboy chords and singing and stuff, I'm like, never mind. I get it.
Fair.
It makes fucking sense.
Yeah, you were talking about it feeling kind of like that thing where you're trying to like rub your belly and like pat your head.
Oh my God.
At the same
time.
10.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like a coordination.
Breathing, pitch, strumming, notes.
Yeah, you wouldn't anticipate.
I also think it is so, also, if any of you have small hands and you want to learn guitar, it is possible, but like, damn, the upper fretboard, I just feel like, like a little kid. It's getting better, but I feel like.
I do think it's also just like a learning curve thing.
No, definitely. There's definitely.
That, you know.
But I stand by that if you got long fucking.
Yeah, if you have long spindly fingers, it's probably
you're
easier.
You're probably fucking set.
But. I feel like that's such a specific thing, though, because you can't have big hands where your fingers are wide, because then you're, like, sort of mashing things. Mm-hmm. You need to have long... It's like piano.
No, it's like that thing. Hands. You know how, like, Olympic athletes, too, like, to some degree, like, you, like some people just get lucky, too, with their genetic buildup and stuff.
Yes.
Makeup.
I think that's, like, a lot of people.
And, like, I really feel the same way. I'm going to do it. I'm going to overcome it now.
You should.
I think we've gotten through the
I
want to quit every other week.
Good.
So...
I'm glad.
I think we're over that.
And, you know, if that comes back, that's okay.
And
you can feel how you feel about
it. And then I got a new guitar.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm not allowed to take time off of work because... Also, I don't know if we talked about... Yeah, because we found that thrift store, that music thrift store.
Yeah.
Addicted.
It's so fun. There's a music thrift store here in Tucson. I mean, there's probably several, but the one that we found is really cool.
I genuinely... Because, you know, sometimes we'll go to the thrift store and stuff, and it's like, it's fine. Like, I can peruse.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't realize, like, I had found my thing. Because, like, I could sit in that bitch all fucking day.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at shit and fucking around.
You understand now.
I understand it. I get it.
It's so fun.
I love putting my hands on stuff.
Yeah.
But
also, too, it's not even about wanting to buy things necessarily so much as it is
enjoying. Oh, I want to acquire. I want to buy.
Okay, fair. But like enjoying seeing all of the different types of things.
I know.
You're like, I didn't even know something like this existed.
I know, especially all the old stuff that's in there, too. I'm like, this is so fucking cool.
Yes.
Also, like that mixer I bought.
It's really
because they were like, oh, yeah, this woman brought it in and she bought it for gigging.
Performing.
And she never got a chance to use it.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up not using it. And I was like, I'm not going to let this little... I was like, this little mixer is going to see the light of day.
For her and for the mixer.
I'm going to get you out. I'm going to get you outside. Get you some air. So
you got to do it.
Yeah. I'm going to let it run.
But yeah, it's just a fun thing. I really like thrifting and...
It's such a thrill.
Yeah.
Also, I love when stuff has a story.
Yes.
Oh, God.
That's why I like it.
That shit is good.
That's also why most of the stuff on our wall is either thrifted or from small artists.
It just adds a nice little... It does.
Yes. When there's like an extra little...
Speaking of small artists, let's talk about the Plaths.
They are not small artists. Let's
They are small artists.
Hello?
Like, all of them have a Spotify.
Oh, that's fair.
It was a burn, but I don't think you got it at
first.
I
thought you meant, like, art. Okay, so are we talking about Ethan Plath?
I think it's time.
We should talk about... Do you remember what his non-negotiables are? Because I don't remember them off the top of my head. Ethan's three things, his three non-negotiables were to vote for Trump in 2024, to raise the kids to be religious or to raise the kids, and to raise the kids to be Republicans. I do remember there being something about, like, the kids being patriotic or, like, not raising his kids. Like, Ethan didn't want to raise his kids to be, like, critical of the United States. And that, the first one was that Olivia needed to come back to Christianity and go back to the church. The other one was to raise their kids in the church. And I think the third one was something about like patriotism or like raising their kids to be patriotic and or Republican, I think was the thing. There was something that Olivia posted on her Instagram story where she talked about how a big difference for her or like part of what pushed her to be like, oh, this is terrible, actually, was Ethan talking about, you know, what would happen if their kids turned out to be queer. And he said something to the effect of like, he would turn his back on their kids because he wouldn't be able to like support that or something. And she was like, was like, I can't raise kids with a man who believes that it's totally fine to turn your back on your kids if they just don't do the things you want them to do. So
I love how in the same breath, they can be like, oh, yeah, all babies are important. It's so important, blah, blah, no abortions. Every kid must come to terms.
Sanctity of life.
And then is like, oh, but not if you're gay.
Yeah,
God forbid you're queer.
Though. Yeah.
God forbid you're anything other than like what exactly we perceive what to be this like status quo. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Which, again, like questions like, why are you having kids?
Yes. Because it's the thing to do. Because it glorifies God.
Fuck, that shit is so annoying.
Yeah.
Think again this too, like where especially like the critical thinking part and stuff.
Yeah.
Is like, you know, if you did like half of that for yourself, maybe you might not have gotten a divorce. Mm-hmm. Maybe you like might not have been in a miserable relationship.
Yeah.
For, like,
well, yeah, they wouldn't have been in the relationship to begin with.
In the first place. Yeah.
But also to be fair, they were very much like victims of that mentality, I think. Because they were like,
that's fair. 19 at that point, 20. Yeah. But I think like as adult or like,
well, yeah, but as adults they were already married.
No. But I mean like the kids part to like have like no, I feel like it's just so bizarre to me, and maybe that's like because we're weird, but like to have no desire to want to think like, oh, what resonates with me? Mm-hmm. Like, what do I want my life to look like?
Yeah.
You know, like I just can't imagine being so committed.
What do you mean?
To like the values that like put you in such a box, you know?
Oh. Well, yeah, I think that's the thing, though, is that they don't think it puts them in a box.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
They
huh?
think it like provides them with freedom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which it doesn't. But
so much freedom that you have to make these completely calculated decisions that everyone else before you has made.
Yeah.
So well, free.
That also you can't deviate from in any meaningful capacity. Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't agree with the way that Ethan Plath is generally. I think that's also maybe part of why I'm not enjoying this season as much.
Yeah.
Because before there was a little bit of like, you know, you could sort of just distance yourself from the reality of things.
Yeah.
Also, I love you so much. That noise is going to drive me fucking bananas. No, it has not. It's been this whole time. Can you just take your Crocs off? If you're going to rub your feet together like that, if you can't have cricket feet and rub your Crocs together, I'm trying to think and all I can hear is like SpongeBob. Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. Anyways, in past seasons, I feel like it was a little easier to distance yourself from the reality that these people are like really aggressive conservatives and Trumpers and like,
anti-queer basically.
Yes, all like everything, you know, everybody else's liberation except for theirs.
Yes.
But after Ethan and Olivia's divorce and all that stuff, I'm just kind of like, y'all are actually like really shitty people.
I think it's the show too where I'm like, damn, there's not really like a redeemable character.
Mm-mm.
I'm like, who do I like on the show?
Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
And even then,
that's not a good sign.
Like what Olivia is being shown on camera, like what she's doing on camera is not really the stuff that I'm interested in
at all.
I want Olivia to sit down and like either talk at length about her own deconstruction and how that's going and how her life has changed and how like all the upheaval, all that stuff, or to like spill the tea about the family. I want the drama, right?
Yes.
Or to like see her really unpacking and processing and like, you know, see the changes that she's making in her life now that she's left the Plath family. Because she clearly, I mean, she seems a lot fucking happier now.
What?
But like, we're not getting any of that. We're just getting like Olivia going to the bar with her sister.
I think it's interesting too, because also obviously probably because Kim has so much control over the show, clearly.
Yes.
Because Kim is always painted somehow in a redeemable light.
Uh-huh.
That, because also like that's the stuff that I feel like people would want to watch.
Yes.
Either the producers aren't checked in or like aren't, they would never be allowed to film that.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Because also, too, like, that's happening to Kim. mm-hmm. and burying the whole family at the same damn time.
Yes.
Because basically Kim's like, yeah, all those rules I had for the kids that I felt really passionate about before, I just don't care about them anymore.
Just don't matter.
Can you imagine? Like,
I let our 9-year-old go country, like line dancing wearing a crop top.
Yeah.
And it's all fine.
Can you imagine, like, growing up? I would be, if I was the older kids,
I would be pissed.
I'd be like, fuck you guys. This yes. double standard fucking bullshit.
Especially Ethan, because the yeah. whole, and like, I resonate with what Olivia said. She was talking when she was packing up the house about, you know, looking back at pictures of them on their wedding day and yeah. all this stuff. And she was like, you know, if I could tell those young kids yes. what I know now, she was like, I don't know if I would, honestly, mm-hmm. because all of the learning and all of that is really valuable. But I think the trauma of it all, seeing Mike, your younger siblings not have to do the things that you did that yeah. caused you like a whole bunch of trauma, I would be really mad.
I'd be so distressing.
I'd be pretty pissed.
Yeah, me too.
Because I think Ethan and Olivia might have just had a normal 20-somethings relationship. And then,
yeah.
you know, went separate ways when they figured out, like, more so who they are.
Yeah.
But instead, they had to get married and do this whole really painful thing that fucked everybody's shit up.
Yeah.
You know? The other thing that's interesting to me about the season of Plathville, too, is the chatter about, like, why is Olivia on the show still?
Oh, I literally just saw something about that. But, like,
she's not part of the family anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, technically, she shouldn't really be part of the show. But, like, I don't know. She's the only interesting person on the show. So, like, also, are you distracted now?
Because I did get it for a second there, but I'm back. Yeah.
Okay. Someone closed the door out in the hallway, which was confusing because we're here on a weekend where there's no one else normally. Yeah. But I'm curious how they're going to handle that in the future.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think this season it made sense because at the start of the season they were still together.
Yeah.
And then they had to sign divorce papers and all that stuff, right? But then now, like, moving forward, they're, like, fully divorced.
Yeah.
So is she going to continue to be on the show, you think?
I don't know.
Do we want that even?
I feel like...
I want an Olivia spinoff, personally.
Do I, though? Or... I guess it'd be interesting. Yeah, I don't, like...
That's fair, actually. Do we?
I'm like, is there really that much more? I don't know. Like... Because also, too, it's kind of hard to watch the, like, painfully, like, uninformed... It's not, like, anything against her, because obviously she's doing the work. And I'm sure, no, like, whatever's depicted in the show is, like, far and away. Because you said they're, like, super behind, right?
Yes.
Well,
no, not super behind. That's Sister Wives. That's super behind.
Oh, is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah. Plathville, I think this was filmed last year.
Okay, so it's not that far. It's just hard to watch someone, like, I guess, go, like, obviously deconstructing is hard and everything, too, but it's, like, yes, hard to watch someone,
yeah.
like, be, like, fish out of water kind of a thing. Like, you've been
There's, like, an awkwardness to it that yes. you're like, ah, like,
yeah.
I don't want to watch this. I don't feel like we should be seeing this.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I think there's also something to be said about the, like, audience effect, you know?
What do you mean? Or
where,
so?
Like, people behave differently when of they're course. Aware that they're being perceived.
Yeah.
And so I think for her most effective growth and, like,
yeah.
you know, like, forward movement,
yeah.
it would make more sense for her to do that in private. I wouldn't want to have all that filmed.
No,
I really wouldn't.
Like, me, like, learning to walk, basically.
Oh, God. I know. Well, and then there's just such a rapid change that happens in your values and beliefs
mm-hmm.
because you're, like, unlearning all of this stuff all at once, you know? So it just is very overwhelming and chaotic.
This is kind of that thing, too, where it's like, you know, you just watch a show for the last time.
Yeah.
Or you mm-hmm. watch an episode, and then, like, that was the last time you ever watched the show.
I know. Yeah.
I'm kind of curious to see after, especially at the end of the season. Because also, too, I feel like they do that thing, too, where they tease and tease for something big.
Yes.
And then they and get it to
never
it,
is
and it's,
anything...
like, the most yeah. mild, mundane.
Yes. Okay, can we talk about Micah and his girlfriend?
Absolutely.
By the way, speaking of mild Absolutely. And mundane.
Yeah.
I don't think they like each other.
I don't think so either.
So I'm just going to say it.
Or maybe if they do, it's like the awkward thing on camera, maybe.
I don't think so.
But
I think they have an active vitriol for one another.
Because also,
really
the thing too, where like, if, I feel like you would have to really hard press us to like, for us to start picking at each other. I don't even know what I would pick at you about.
We do pick at each other, but in a playful way. In a way that's clear. Because we haven't made it to this episode on the live streams yet, by the way. Aaron and I are up to date on the episodes just like on our own.
Normally we do a pretty good job of waiting, but we'd already started.
Yeah, but I took a selfish, and so it's fine. But we watched the episode where there's the reveal of mm-hmm. Micah's girlfriend,
yeah.
even though we've already seen most of her face.
I know, and they do everything. They do like every shot around, and like they're just like no nose.
It reminds me of when, like in cartoons, they do the superhero thing where it's like just a little thin strip of black cloth
and
they as take it the off mask.
And you're like, oh my god, or the glasses for Superman or something. Yes,
like that's not a disguise, whatever. But so there's the reveal about, you know, Micah and his girlfriend.
Yeah,
we get to like see her. That's the big reveal and whatever. And they're just casually, they're just sitting on the couch having a casual little chit chat about their relationship and whatever.
Very normal.
And they get in this weird, pissy little argument on camera about who does projects inside versus outside.
It didn't take much prompting at all.
No.
Also, it's very like age appropriate. Like, I feel like that's like new relationship.
Yeah.
Like fleshing it out. Like, that's fine.
Sure.
But also, like that's what you guys have to say about each other.
Well, but it's just the thing where, like, it feels very much like the Michael Scott dinner party thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, they're very obviously annoyed and upset with each other.
Yes.
But we're just like, honey.
Yes. You know,
and like everyone else is just like, oh god. Like
everyone else is aware. But
yes.
Like, I don't know if they think they're playing it off cooler than they were.
I don't know. But it was a really strange moment to witness. And then the producers ask them about marriage after previously they're like, oh yeah, we call each other husband and wife. Like,
yes,
we are basically married, also, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then they ask about marriage and they're both like, don't say anything. And who knows? Maybe it's because they are already married and that's like the big reveal. I don't know. But it just came across as like, oh, we don't want to talk about that. Like, that's a sore spot, kind of.
Also, where is she from? Or where did they find...
This is another thing that I'm like, this is fake.
Because like the ranch thing?
She said that she had never tried ranch and she had never tried salsa until she met his family.
Because I can believe like the ranch thing...
I don't buy that.
Because even like salad, like you've never had a salad?
Also, kids eat ranch all the time. That's where most people eat ranch for the first time is in childhood.
Is there like a religion that doesn't allow you to have ranch?
No.
Or?
No.
Like,
that's fake.
And the hot sauce, she did say hot sauce too, didn't she?
Salsa is what she said specifically.
Like in America?
I understand that they're in Georgia, but still.
There's salsa though, like, but...
You can get salsa at Taco Bell.
That's what I'm saying. Like, hot sauce.
What? I don't buy that. I don't buy that for 1 second, especially because it comes across as like the very performative, like skinny girl thing.
Do you think that's what it is? I wouldn't do that over ranch. I get. I don't know. Let me stop myself.
It just comes across as like, oh, I don't need dressing with my salad.
You
I just eat them raw.
Turtled that shit.
Yes. Yeah, like a very performative and fake fucking, like, obviously lie about how, like, I could never have whole milk in my coffee. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Everybody has fucking fattening foods sometimes. Like, shut up.
I think this Stop is doing too, that. Looking back on it now, is, like, I think it's, like, a very, like, gendered way to, like, oh, like, dudes work on the, do, like, worry about the outside. And women
and
worry
I
about
do
the
stuff
inside.
On the inside.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think as we've grown up more, it's just like, oh, we just do projects together.
Yes. That was the other thing that was really confusing.
Like, why
to me.
Is it so strict? Like, why does it need to be?
Because also, if you're in a new relationship and you're trying to flesh out, like, whether you want to be together or not, a great way to do that is to see whether you're compatible at solving
work
a problem
together.
Yes. Or, like, you know, completing an activity, completing a task.
Also, because I think one of the episodes he was. Micah was like, oh, she has me gardening or something. Or like, like, I'm so, because normally that's like gardening is typically more of a
like a girly,
a feminine.
Yeah, as far as like
task.
Traditional patriarchal
so
roles
I was surprised.
Are concerned. I know. And then Micah keeps talking about how he's starting a fence business.
A fence business?
Yeah, he keeps talking about how he's going to start a business or is starting a business where he puts fencing in.
That's like a real thing, like for construction and stuff, but like also...
But like I don't understand where that came from.
Also, my impression is I'm like, how much money are they making from the show? Because I'm sure they get paid per episode.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know.
I would assume not that much.
It can't be that much, right?
It's no. Like certainly I think a pretty penny, but not... Like a life-changing amount of
That's
money. They're
like,
not millionaires
I'm
by
like,
any
is
stretch.
Is Spartan Race endorsing? Think. Are they advertising? Was this a big advertisement?
Maybe. It's entirely possible. I would not put it past TLC
I mean, it's like
for
a,
1 minute. They do all kinds of weird advertising.
It's just so funny. I'm like, but... Ugh.
I don't know. It's just really weird. Especially the pivot from I want to be a model to now I put fencing in for a living. Like, where did that come from?
I know. I feel like it's just
Barry
like,
doesn't do that.
They're so sudden. There's such sudden shifts.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a very, like... young.
No, mind, sure. Like, that's like far, early 20s. Yeah, yeah. Like
feeling everything out, of course. But also then they do this thing where like, yeah, I guess I'll just up and get married. And then like, I'm already miserable now, so might as well make myself more miserable after complaining all last season about like, I would never let myself get married like Ethan did.
Yeah.
And Olivia.
I would never want to be married to someone like that. Meanwhile.
Yeah.
Is actively bickering with his partner on camera.
After the first time being on camera together.
Yeah. It's just a really strange.
Yeah.
Thing. I don't know. It feels very much like the, like when you subscribe to, I mean, kind of what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode, that like when you subscribe to these harmful roles and you insist that they're like right and good and okay, that like it does still spite you though.
I think especially looking back on it too, or like, I feel like that's just a good like learning area too, especially for like people who are younger and like new and in fresh relationships is like, I think we like hit our stride the best when we just started doing things together instead of like separately, do, you know, I feel like that helps to present prevent a lot of resentment.
Oh yeah,
I was gonna say presentment.
presentment,
like, presentment. But I was like, that's not the word. Those aren't the, those are actually prevent resentment. Words.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. Maybe that doesn't work for everybody, but I feel like it works for us.
But also,
I like doing projects with you.
I like doing projects with you too. I feel like too fun. We've had to like. I feel like it's actually worked on our communication skills a lot.
No, definitely. We especially joke about it all the time, but like the IKEA papers. Furniture thing. Yeah. It's like so real. Yeah, the papers project was hard.
Pick a project neither of you know how to do.
Woo!
Fuck all that. And then.
My God. I bet our neighbors were outside just sipping their coffee, listening to us.
I was like, if we're going to argue, let's go inside. That's how we're so different because you'll like.
I don't care. I don't give a fuck. Especially when I'm
like,
irritated.
No, come on, let's go inside. Come on.
I'm like, no, we're talking about it now and here. I don't give a fuck. Like, I am not embarrassed because I think it's also too that because I work from home and I'm at home.
Mm-hmm.
More, I hear the neighbors get in fights with each
other. I've never heard any of our neighbors get in a fight with each other.
I have
ever.
Heard all of our neighbors, with the exception of the ones behind us and one neighbor across the street. I've heard all of them get in fights with each other.
I'm missing all of it.
And like, not like they're standing in the driveway and having a tense discussion. Like, I've heard them yelling through the walls, through their walls and our walls.
There's nothing wrong with that, of course.
No, it happens. Yeah.
You've heard them fighting.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's not like it happens like every day. Clearly, it's probably like once per household.
Yeah.
But like, I have heard these people get in fights, and so I don't give a fuck if they hear us arguing over papers.
That's a little introvert. That's an introvert in me.
You know? Yeah.
That was a good project. Like, we did do a good job.
The audience thing. Yeah, we did do a really good job on the pavers. I like them. We did plan on putting a table out there that we have not yet.
But also, do the bugs right now?
You say that every season. So what do we have pavers for if you don't want to put a table out
we
there?
We use pavers all the time. I love walking on them. I walk on them.
Oh, my God.
It's better than
I want a table. We should get a nice little table. Okay. I think a picnic table would look so cute out there.
Well, we do have a picnic table. We just made one. We just need to get a...
Do you know what a picnic table is?
Oh, with benches.
Yeah.
We have so... horribly derailed. This is just our inner workings of our home decor.
And
yeah, that's fair. That's true.
Have you listened to any of the episodes of the podcast before?
Okay, so picnic table.
Yeah.
Okay, with benches.
You know what? We're gonna open it up to the comments. If you think we should put like traditional table with chairs,
we have that right now.
We don't have chairs. We have like two.
We do need new chairs. Why? Yeah. It just my thing is why does outdoor. Is this like this everywhere? Outdoor furniture is like, it's like you might as well call it wedding furniture because it's so goddamn fucking expensive for no reason.
Yeah. But I think also it's especially hard here because like wicker, out of the question.
The sun like, eats
wood,
it.
Wood even really, out of the question. Like that's not going to happen here because we have such intense seasons where like, first of all, it's really hot for most of the year. And then the other part of the year, there are crazy monsoons where it's not just like a trickle, it's like a downpour. So that furniture has to be super resilient to both really high temperatures and water.
We don't have rust. What rusts here?
Literally everything. If you leave it outside.
No, we rust. Do not have humidity like that. Dude, we do not have humidity like that.
Okay, but humidity is not the only thing that causes rust.
No, yes, of course.
You know that, right?
Yes, I know this. Compared to other places in the world, our rust worries are way lower. Yes.
I feel like it's not.
Yes. In some parts of the country, they literally have to spray shit under the cars to prevent rust.
Well, but that's because of the salt on the roads. That's different.
Oh, fuck. That's right. You're different. Yeah. We know things about other places.
Yeah, no, that's because they salt the roads to keep the snow down.
Do you think real salt of the earth people are the ones salting the roads?
I'm not answering that question. I want to know, put your opinion in the comment. Do you think, in the comment, comments, do you
just
think,
one. Everyone gets one.
Do you think we should have a table with like traditional chairs around it? Or should we look for a table that has like a built-in picnic bench? I'm personally, as a plus size person, a fan of bench seating.
Yeah.
Because it is easier, first of all, to have like an undetermined number of people around a table. Whereas like if you have six chairs, six people, right? But if you have bench seating, you could have like six people, maybe eight people, depending on like how comfortable we are with one another and like the body sizes of those people.
I also,
you know,
but like if we're going to
bench seating is very versatile.
I want like a park bench, but like how do we get a park bench in our backyard?
Park bench in like the
big hardy stone.
Hardy.
Stone.
You want a stone bench. Park bench?
Yeah, but it's so spancy.
No, I want the wood ones that are just sealed.
I thought we said we're not doing wood.
But if it's sealed really good, it's probably fine.
You just undid what you said earlier.
I didn't say we weren't doing wood.
You sound like a plath now.
I didn't say we weren't doing wood. I just said that it gets destroyed.
I guess we're going to have to look.
I feel like there's an option out there. Also, the place that gives us the best recommendations for things is the podcast.
That's true. Honestly, genuinely true.
Like y'all, so genuinely I think true. It's just the crowdsourcing thing. Y'all know everything.
You're way smarter than we are.
When you have thousands of friends.
Brains.
They're bound to have the answer.
I like to think of us all connected.
Yes.
Like a little neural
like
network.
I was going to say, yeah, what is the thing in Baldur's Gate?
Us.
No. What is it called? Not us, like the little monster, but the actual network of the hive. Is the hive mind?
Is it the hive mind?
Not the elder brain, but it's like all, maybe it is the elder brain.
But they're all connected.
Yeah.
Via Wi-Fi.
Yeah. I don't know who the elder brain is, though.
Did you hear what I just said? Or are you just saying yes
via
to it?
Via Wi-Fi? Yeah.
They don't have Wi-Fi in Baldur's.
We're connected by Wi-Fi, though.
No, we're connected by Wi-Fi. I don't think they have Wi-Fi. They probably have something way magic-ier.
Magic-ier?
Yeah.
That's fair. Also, you guys, we got more art delivered. So there's new stuff coming on the wall. I'm very excited about it.
Honestly, yeah, I feel like some of it's going to get redone.
I think so, too. And or we'll just start expanding up and then down and then around the sides of the room.
I am so curious how people are going to react to this episode because I feel like we have so quickly devolved.
People enjoy it, I think.
Do they? I'm trying to think what other goings-ons at our house is goings-ons.
Update on Savannah. She's doing really well.
God damn. I don't know how much sedation we have to sedate. I have never met a dog. I'm so glad. Like that, she.
Speaking of which, I'm going to check on her.
She was a cheap, I think it was like $200 for the adoption fee or something.
In total, yeah. After her initial vet visit and all of that stuff, yeah.
But she's like a $15,000 dog now with all the.
Yeah.
I feel like, I like to think of her like in Fallout, like we're modifying our dog. Like, so now she's like
Robo.
She's like, yeah, we've customized her. So she's
advanced Robo
back
dog.
Legs now.
Yeah.
But like that, she's like what, 10 years old?
Yeah.
That bitch has so much fucking life in her.
Yes.
It is nuts. Like even with the broken leg, I'm like, give her more, sedate her more.
That's why I am not going to complain about her needing more sedation.
Yeah.
Because even drugs that are intended
to knock
to
her
knock
ass
you down,
out.
She will not be knocked down. She refuses. She won't take it.
That is a hardy fucking dog.
Last night when we went to bed, she was still like pretty heavily.
She was
real groggy.
She was zooting last night.
From her midday meds, and so we were like, well, I don't want to like you know really put her on a different planet. So it's fine. We'll just give her sedation in the morning. And this morning she woke up
like,
ready to run a marathon.
She said, "Where have I been?"
Yeah, it was. I think that's what it was. Is she was like, "Oh my god, you guys, I feel better."
I just wish we could know what they were thinking. She's like, "Damn, know. Every time I eat, I feel so weird. What's going on?
Why?" It's just so strange. I went to this person and then I left there and I just haven't felt normal.
I wonder too. Also, just like the like, wow, that's so weird. You guys just suddenly give me treats and then I feel weird again. But also, she'll eat anything.
But yeah, I don't think she connects the cause and effect, though.
No, I don't think so. No, I think there's no way, right?
Yeah, she just is.
She'll eat anything.
All of a sudden, like, I don't feel so good.
Yeah, but needless to say, I feel it was a good investment.
Yeah.
I think she's got plenty of.
She's doing a lot better.
Honestly, she's not allowed to die now.
No, absolutely not.
We got to get a return on investment back in love.
She's putting weight on her leg.
Yeah.
And she's going to get her staples removed on Monday.
Tomorrow.
So, yeah. that'll be exciting.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And then hopefully she won't have to wear the cone.
I feel so bad for the cone.
It depends on how well her incision has healed. If it's pretty good, then...
It's looking really good. The doctor this time, the vet did...
Yeah, it's clean.
I was impressed. Because last time looked like I was describing it as a World War II battle wound.
Yeah.
Recovery on the...
It was not good.
On the battlefield. Yeah. Just fucking whatever you got, just staple them.
Quite bloody.
Cauterize it.
Yeah. Also, update...
another update.
Yeah, we're doing updates now. This is the update podcast. I found a neurological institute that I want to get into. I need my fucking primary care physician.
Oh my god, your PCP fucking dropped you again. Or they didn't drop you, but they
kind of
retired.
I got bounced.
Is it us? Is this happening to other people? Are your PCPs taking
four PCPs unprompted in like 2 years?
Leave of absences probably. For extended periods of time? Did she seem like she was...
Well, I didn't talk to her. It was
I saw her one time.
Yeah, and like, to be clear, I'm not mad at my doctor for needing to take time off. Like, that happens and that's fine, right? I think the timing of it was just unlucky.
You're but so close to having another appointment.
It's just really frustrating to feel like I can't establish consistent care
anywhere.
Because also then when you go to a new doctor and they're like, how many PCPs have you had? They think it's because I'm leaving.
It's
and I'm like, no, you're not understanding. I tried to stay.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let me.
Yes.
I keep getting bounced to new people and it's just like a whole thing. So I found a neurological institute that hopefully is covered. Yeah, it's covered through our insurance in theory. And so if I can get a fucking referral and get on the wait list, then I might be able to actually see a doctor who gives a shit and knows something about whatever the fuck is wrong with my face.
I feel so, like, sad and, like, upset knowing, like, there's people who have, like, actual, like, dire emergency. Yes. Like, yours is awful. At least it's medication. Yes. It's responding to medication right now.
Yeah.
But, like, what do you do when you need to see someone? Like, the ER is just your only choice?
Yes.
Basically to get fucking taken care of?
Yes.
Yeah, fucking trash.
That's like really how it works. Yeah. That's also why ER bills are so expensive, because they recoup the costs of people who default on their medical bills by upping the cost of everything. And it becomes this like cyclical problem then, where more and more people can't afford to pay their ER bills because they're just, you know, it's
that
a fucking
sucks. It sucks so much.
Fuck America. The United States is the bad place.
Yeah, truly. Ethan, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Ethan's not watching this.
I feel like we have one more thing that we were going to talk about, but I don't remember what it was. I did start reading that book.
It
Ends With Us.
How's
I saw actually a lot of comments on last week's pod of people being like, don't bother. It's so bad.
Just from what
I
heard.
Don't bother even reading it.
It's giving like if someone had read no other books in their entire life and they read Twilight and they're like, I can do this.
Kind of.
At least just from what I heard.
It feels almost like an Arrested Development kind of situation where this author, this woman, got stuck in like 2013.
Edgelord humor.
Yeah.
Like writing.
Uh-huh.
Like.
And was just for some reason under the impression, I mean, I guess because she sells a fucking shitload of books, that like this is the way. Within the first, like, 5 pages.
That whole rooftop scene is just obscene.
It's the first scene in the book.
That's what I'm saying.
It's literally the opening of the book. I was listening to it while I was making my breakfast, because I listen to audiobooks because, you know, paper books are not my thing.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it while I was making my breakfast. So I'm, like, cooking eggs, being like, hello? What are you talking about?
The dialogue is odd.
It's odd.
To say the least.
It's so, so poorly written. It's really, really bad.
It's clunky.
It is clunky and awkward and cringy.
But also.
But it's also so sketchy and scary.
Yeah. The like.
The norms.
Deep disclosures and the like.
Yeah. The norms that we're perpetuating in this book are wild.
Literally like the bonding over trauma. Like y'all.
Yes. In case you aren't familiar, if you're sensitive to like DV stuff, just. Know that going in.
Look
we're
going
to talk about that. Yeah. But the very first, like the opening scene of the book is this woman on a rooftop, just like, I don't know, looking over at stuff or whatever. And this man comes up there and starts kicking the shit out of a plastic patio chair, just kicking the shit out of it. And then he notices her. And then they have this very sexy conversation where he's like, so dark and mysterious. And she loves it. Like, hello?
Christian Grey, hello?
Literally, what is that?
I
so upsetting and confusing.
But also, too, the, like, first red flag is like, oh, a man is up here being violent towards an inanimate object. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to fucking go.
A man is up here. I'm going to fucking go. Like, yeah. It's true. Nighttime. True. I'm on a rooftop. Oh, it's nighttime? And this is a man that I don't know. Goodbye.
Also, it's no one's fault other than the 2010s.
Yeah. But
the word epic used in any context or any form now,
I don't like it.
It's ruined.
I don't like it.
Unless you're describing, like, I don't even know, but like when you refer to something as that was so epic.
It's well, and it's one thing for someone to do it once.
But
right?
Like,
I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever, right? Like people just use slang that they're familiar with. But she used it like no less than half a dozen times.
In that book?
In the span of 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah, see, that'll do it.
And also, I don't know if you guys have seen that clip. I don't know what show or movie this is from, but there's a clip of someone. Should I just play it?
Sure.
All right, I'm just going to play it for you. Hold on, let me find
it. Can we talk about two? The new, this like, it's like giving, like, when your humor becomes so dated, when it's like so ingrained. And I know there's something to be said for like timepieces and stuff, and I guess that's really just what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, like, the new Sex and the City that you started watching,
mm-hmm.
bad. Woo. I feel like that alone is gonna need it.
Yeah, they we might have to talk about And Just Like That.
I at least they stopped saying the F word, I guess.
Is that an improvement?
So the bar is in hell.
Yeah, we've, I guess, reached a baseline.
Also,
bad.
I didn't realize the only character I like is actually Samantha.
Yes. Samantha is, like, kind of problematic.
Yeah.
A good amount of the time. But at least her character is, like, first of all, consistent. But second of all, like, she's probably the character that is most committed to the, like, we support each other and, like,
yeah.
we center women in our lives and not men.
Yes.
And all of the other characters center
out.
Men.
Out, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Also, too, like, I think it's, obviously, it's really great that Sarah Jessica Parker
yeah.
had her boundaries and stood, you know, like,
yes.
stood by her shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, the bra thing, once you brought it up.
Yeah.
Because, like, she'll be wearing outfits and I'm like, a bra doesn't even make sense.
No. Because
it
that's the other
so
thing that's confusing
without.
To me is that it's, I understand that she didn't want to be naked or do, like,
totally.
Raunchy stuff. That's totally fair. This is not about that. But it's about the fact that she's wearing these outfits that would look great if she didn't have a bra on.
Yes.
But she has a bra on, and not just a bra, but like a bright pink one, a bright green one.
Yes.
And like, first of all, backless bras did exist at that time.
Also, we had
sticky bras.
Yeah.
Sticky bras did exist at that time. And also, you're working on a television set.
I feel like
could
it's...
they not just like tape some stuff into place? Like, I don't understand what that is about.
Yeah, because also then to the other spectrum, like Samantha did like full bush.
I know.
And, when, and I know, granted, it was probably a
yeah,
little
it was definitely
little
a Merkin.
Thing.
Yeah.
but like,
and
I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah. If one
I
of my
don't
friends, I'm
it.
Like, damn, okay, I was like, respect. Okay, I can,
I
you know, again, like, good on people for having their boundaries. It's just,
yes,
the,
but
the
could we
stark
just,
contrast.
Or
is,
also, too, could the costuming department just pick things that didn't require her to have a
yeah.
bra strap in the back? Like, could Carrie Bradshaw not have been serving looks without having to wear backless
yeah.
everything all the time?
Yeah, and the new
I don't know.
One,
I don't get it.
The new one, too, is just such humor, boomer humor.
Well, it's just very, like, we hate young people.
Kinda.
Humor.
Yeah.
It's not even, like, about them being boomers or about them being old. It's just a very obvious attempt to appeal to people who actively dislike young people
yeah.
and actively dislike social justice and social progress.
Yeah.
Like progressivism.
Which is crazy because that show is like so
yes.
inundated with like gay culture.
And well,
like,
and also
like,
if you didn't want to talk about it, then
don't.
Like you don't have to. It's like they made this intentional attempt to incorporate it just to shit on it.
Yeah.
Like you could have
like,
just skirted
why?
Around it. I don't think the Gen X people who were watching it would have been like, man, I wish they addressed non-binary people.
Yeah.
Like you could have just not included a non-binary person in a problematic way. You know? It was just really strange. Oh. Anyways, okay, here's the clip. Let's listen to this.
Pumpkin spice latte, please. I want it freezing, though. Actually, I just want a regular coffee. Those white girl pumpkin spice lattes annoy me.
I love. Name?
Senorita Awesome.
Please, no. What is that? What is that?
Who wrote this?
I don't know.
Who's writing this stuff? Who is doing this?
That's the energy that all of Colleen Hoover's dialogue has. It's very like pick me, very like.
Was that satire? Or that was a real.
I think that was a real
clip from something.
From something. I don't know what it was from.
Not those white girl pumpkin spice lattes.
But then also the barista being like, I'm in love.
He said,
no.
She said, I'm not like the other girls.
Yes. As somebody who used to be a barista, I'd have been like, okay. As soon as she was like, I want that freezing cold, I'd be like, okay.
I can get it as cold as I can get it. It's going to get served to you how it's going to get served.
I'll just write that down and make it for you. Like, I don't care.
Also,
I don't
give a fuck. As we get ready to be in fall, Mickey has started your fall playlist. And so it's fall. We've decided it's fall.
It's fall now.
We've canceled summer.
Yeah.
Fall is upon us. If you want a pumpkin spice latte, just get what you want to fucking drink.
Just get one.
Just get one. Don't
just
get
drink
one,
things
don't
that are
drink
fun.
It from Starbucks, but otherwise,
yeah,
just
no,
get
fuck
one.
Fuck Starbucks.
If I see one more goddamn Starbucks go up in this city, I'm going to fucking implode.
Listen, here's the thing.
I'm going to implode.
We are still boycotting Starbucks because they're participating in and or supporting the genocide that's happening in Palestine. So, like, fuck them. But generally, also, outside of that, there is no world. Huh?
It's not even good coffee, really.
Well, no, that too. But there's no world where I want to support a business that is, like, erecting new structures all over the city like a disease.
I hope you fucking... It's like a zit. They're like
it's
zits.
So exhausting.
Like, who's approving this?
I
fuck
don't
you
know.
Guys.
But
fuck
it's
you guys.
So fucking irritating.
Literally.
There's literally a Starbucks drive-thru, like, 1 mile away from another Starbucks drive-thru.
My favorite is when they have a Starbucks and then they close that Starbucks to put a Starbucks in the same fucking park. I'm not even fucking around.
They'll
the same
put one
lot.
Literally across the intersection.
Just with a drive-thru.
Yeah. Like, what?
Like,
why are we doing this? Why are you this way? I hate Starbucks now. Fuck them.
Not you guys. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, no, not
you. Fuck Starbucks.
You guys are fine.
Starbucks and car washes.
So I knew that it was going to be bad, the book for It Ends With Us, but I didn't think it was going to be that bad.
I don't know how you're going to... Thank God you're listening to it.
I was just expecting it to be problematic. I didn't think it would also be cringy.
I feel like I'd almost rather problematic but done well than cringy and done poorly.
No, I would prefer it the other way around.
Really?
Just cringy is like embarrassing, but it's not like going to harm anyone.
Okay, good point. I changed my mind. I officially am changing my stance.
I think I'd prefer it to be just cringy and well
also,
done.
Also, at least when it's cringy, normally it's like easier to spot.
Yes.
It's like not covert.
Definitely. You know? Yeah. Do you have anything? Do we have anything else to talk about?
No, everyone, please take care of yourselves.
Listener mail.
Oh, listener mail. Yeah.
We'll wrap up today with some listener mail.
Enjoy your hobbies.
We're not done yet.
I know we're not. I'm just telling people in therapy the last couple of weeks, we've been working on joy. Myself.
We
as in all the components that make up.
Sure.
Aaron.
Sure.
But something I realized that I've been doing is speeding, like if there's a goal, if there's like a long road, I just see what's at the end of the road. I don't see all the billboards on the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you get to the end and like you don't really have like a recollection or memory. Or like you didn't get to enjoy the scenery along
scenery
the way.
Scenery or landmarks.
Yeah,
or
you just
cool
rush
sights.
You rush past everything. Yeah. And that can really steal your joy, especially if you're not taking time to like be grounded.
Yes.
And to enjoy the things that are in front of you, because then it kind of makes the whole thing
unfun.
Unfun. Yeah. So find fun where you can.
Joy is an act of resistance.
Yeah.
This is kind of old listener mail, but I think relevant nonetheless. This person did not say whether we could use their name or not, so we will not. But they said, I've been having personal issues with people at work who are 60 to 65 and think they are experts and, quote, deserve respect.
Been there, done that.
And that their younger coworkers are not up to snuff. I usually just smile and nod and tell them that they're doing a great job and I respect them, but I hate these interactions.
Same.
Yeah. I think it's a tricky thing to walk at work, especially because in some ways, like the therapist in me wants to be like, have a conversation, sit down, talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
But like the practical human in me is like, sometimes it's not worth kicking up dust over something that is only going to negatively affect you more.
And a lot
you know?
Of times those people aren't necessarily receptive to.
Yes. And that's the other thing.
Also, there's so many different factors that go into like how willing and open they are.
Yes.
What type of 60 to 65 year old liability.
Yeah. And especially if there's somebody who is pretty committed to that belief system already.
Yeah.
I would assume they're not going to be
not gonna
particularly
be open
receptive
to feedback.
No. But I do think that this is becoming like more and more acknowledged in the workplace that like just because people are uncomfortable with being told what to do by someone who's younger than them doesn't mean that those younger people are bad at their job or that they're unskilled or you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Actually, we were talking about this the other day. I don't remember in what context it came up because you said something about like a, I think it was like a social media person or something, like a somebody who handles social media for a business or something. Mm-hmm. And you were like, yeah, they're probably younger than, or I was like, no, they're probably younger than we are. And you were like, yeah, like I would want that actually.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to hire someone to do TikTok that's fucking 45 years old.
No.
I want some 20 something.
There's nothing wrong with that to be clear.
No. But I want a kid. I want someone who's in the sauce. You know?
Having a social media manager for a business who is younger than I am is probably wise actually. Cause they probably know more.
And also I'm going to expect a lot less from them, but as long as they do their fucking, like, they're professional, like,
oh I was like, Puckett, that's so rude.
No, I would expect less of them as like you haven't been in but like as far
you
as
made
like,
it sound like I would expect less from them because they're so like they could never be good at their job.
No,
and I was like, Puckett, you
no,
just proved the point that
no,
we were
quite
talking
the opposite
about.
I would take whatever I would
yeah
like
no I hear
just like
saying.
the joke of like Gen Z kids showing up and fucking like
and just being like less committed to the sort of archaic professionalism norms.
Exactly. Like I would not expect the same affect from a 20-year-old that I would expect from like like a person who's been working in corporate America for
nor should you, you know? And I think in some ways that's kind of a blessing, really.
I think so too.
Because I think you can have like much more frank and open conversations with someone who's just like, okay, yeah, no, let's talk about it.
Like the millennial boss thing.
Yeah. There is kind of a value in that, I think.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. So if that's happening to you, I am so sorry. Fuck that. Fuck
that
those people.
That shit gets under my skin so fucking fast.
But do know that you are just as valuable and just as professional and needed and skilled and, you know, deserving of respect and space.
Don't be like me, but I say push back.
I know.
But don't be
like me. We're so, like, chaotic and confrontational that we're both the people who will be like, hey, so I'm noticing. And like sometimes that's not
sometimes
wise.
Sometimes to a fault.
You know? Yeah. Maybe it might be a situation where it's helpful to have an outlet outside of that to just like complain.
Yeah.
Because that will do a world of good. God. So okay, we're gonna wrap up the episode. Thank you all very much for hanging out with us and supporting. If you want to support us, you can like the videos, you can subscribe, you can leave us 5-star reviews. And the things.
Yeah. Thank you for doing the things.
Thanks for doing the things. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Things.
Okay, later. Bye.
Bye.